I will live from wrong, and I'll die in the mirror.
Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to part two of A Courageous Woman Who Escaped Her Kidnapper, Miss Kathy. I hope you enjoy the show. But before we get on with it, I need to read our disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed on the Defender 7 radio show and Facebook page are those of the callers and or authors and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the Defenders 7. Now, with that being said, welcome again, everybody. For those of you new just tuning in, we welcome you with open arms and hope you enjoy the show. And please help me welcome Miss Kathy. Good evening, Miss Kathy.
Good evening, Bobby. How are you? I just stepped out. I have my first little grandson today. He's 8. And he's been bullied on the computer, so I got him off his game. They were starting to bully him, and he was crying. So I said, that's enough, guys. Shut it down. Mama got him all the electronics, not me. I don't even like that stuff. I was lucky to even play out in the yard when I was 8 years old. Now, there's just so many, and you got to really monitor them on the, you know, computer, cell phones, and it's just not a good thing. But I just stumbled across a big old deer in my backyard. My Labrador is like, wow. But I'm here tonight to kind of let everybody know the reason that I did come forward on what had happened with me. Like I said, I was never coming forward, and I'm not ashamed to tell it. It, again, wasn't my fault, and I had a son that was actually abducted by he was a worker across the street tearing down homes with an old pickup, and so consequential, two trucks old. We were both had a same abduction in the same pretty much pickup trucks and styles and bodies. And this creep was across the street when I was running a restaurant. He was tearing down homes, and I never knew it. We had a live-in babysitter, and I had somebody come and get me at the restaurant, a boy, and he had told me, do you know who this man is across the street? And I'm like, no. And I never knew how long it was going on. My son was 12, going on 13, and on his bicycle. And God knows how many times he had attacked my son. He was in the area tearing down homes, and he was like a reconstructor. And he had the looks of helter-skelter is what made him just, he was a freak. Very scary, skinny, fuzzy hair, very sick-looking guy. And, you know, he come and got me at the restaurant, and he said, Kathy, your son's gone. He was taken in his pickup. And I'm like, you know, I ran out of the restaurant, and I just left everybody sitting and didn't say a word. And drove about 100 miles an hour. I had him with me, and he had took me out to this freaky piece of land in a holler on a dead end where the house looked like a dungeon. It looked like something that was sitting for years and years on a dead end, and weeds all around it, drawn up grass, rocks, and water, and all these little shacks. Like, some of them looked like they were burnt down, but some of them were still standing. And I got there, and I found my son lying in the ground. His eyes were blood red. He had just been drugged up, and he had been assaulted, and crying his eyes out. And I picked him up off the ground, and, you know, the sheriffs were there, and I had one of the newspapers come and took pictures and things like that. You know, they got to get their foot in the door. But I just totally freaked when I was there and on this sick piece of property and with the rocks. And it just took me back to the rock quarry, and I just trembled. And knowing my son had just been attacked, you know, I was on my last verge of almost a breakdown. I shook so bad to where, and the sheriffs come, which, you know how it is on investigations and cover-ups, and he was pretty well protected. They said a lot of the higher-ups were involved as well with the children, and I really do believe it, because he got by, oh gosh, I want to say 50 some years with this stuff he's been doing. And, you know, I did my little investigation again, my paper and pen, and I found out so much that, you know, he has done. And to beat it all, a year or two of fighting, he got probation for the rape of my son and two more boys. And he's been doing this several times before with a bad criminal record. So I'm thinking, you know, wow, he got off on all this and probation. So he evidently got caught with his cousin, a 13-year-old boy, which that sent him up the river 20 years, which that wasn't enough. He should have gone away live, or he should have just been just castrated, murdered right there and then. But, you know, I did, when he was in prison, I went with a friend late one night, and I kind of got on this land that they say they searched it, and I went down, and there was never any search warrants that were conducted. You know, there absolutely nothing at the courthouse, and they never knew about a search. And it would have been right there in writing or a copy if this were to be done. And back then, there was like 8 of the judges that were booked for the same thing, child pornography and all kinds of stuff. So it made me believe that he was very well covered up. And they say a lot of the big judges and the, you know, attorneys, a little bit of every kind, police, were in these shacks, and this is where a lot of assaults took place, and the higher-ups were involved with the children. They were blindfolded and raped, and it was going on quite some time. And when you hear it from a lot of the, you know, people that know what they're talking about, especially a school teacher, which he was in a school system. He was in, oh gosh, 4-H camp, Boy Scouts. He traveled across the world, and he was just in everything, a crosswalk boy. He was Paris Dale Parker. And there could be thousands still that haven't come forward, because I had 8 to come forward just in a small area, you know, where we had lived at, that the restaurant was closed, that helped me. And I know it's harder for a guy to come forward, but I had 8 to help me. And I had went out there, like I said, with a friend, and he was in prison, and I didn't care. I had went to see if my son's pictures, any pornography, anything of my son's was in these shacks. And some of them were padlocked and some were wide open. But the things I seen in there, I seen like these little dressers filled with, you know, kids' clothing. Why would there be kids' clothing in these, you know, when he didn't even have any kids? And there was like voodoo dolls hanging upside down with like knitting needles in their eyes poked. In the cabin things, there was like, I just seen a lot of like, I don't know who the pictures were of, and I seen a lot of toys. And I seen a little mattress, pillows, so that led me to believe this was indefinitely what they called it, his rape shacks, which there was about eight of them. And God knows how many that he could have killed and buried on that property. And but this land was never searched, and, you know, they can't say they did. And it's I went back to it and seen all this. I seen a freezer with a bunch of dead cats in it. And I really thought I had heard he died in prison. That's not so. But he is out now. He got out like a year ago. And he's back on this land. And, you know, I've drove there a few times. And a lot of these shacks are now padlocked. And the grass has grown through them. And each one is like double padlocked, actually. And some have been burnt down. Some are wide open. And they lied, you know, about checking this out. And I, by the name Paris Del Parker, I'm knowing out there that there's a lot more that he got a hold of. And, you know, he was in 4-H camp, Boy Scouts. He was in every school system in the Virginia area, Cedar Bluff. He was in Cedar Bluff Elementary, Ravens Elementary. And he was fired and kicked out of every school, every job, and there was never a note of any kind of a record of why he was fired, why they put him out. And it just went on and on and on and on for years. So I really believe that, you know, there was a major cover-up that he's done to a lot of children, and they should be now about in their, oh, I'd say 30s, 40s. And there could be a lot of them missing on this land, you know, the kids that kind of he murdered, you just never know. But this was just awful, you know. He was well protected, and he is out now. He got out. He's alive and well back on this piece of land, you know, back in the holler, back in the shacks, and probably doing the same thing. But I, like I said, when I stepped on that property and got near them rocks and water and just felt my son being out here, I trembled, and this is the reason I was inspired by the Commonwealth attorney for saving all these children to actually come out and tell my story. But my son's doing better now, and I did want to say, though, that it's really affected him. He's been on some suicide attempts, and he's got a lot of anger issues. You know, we've had him under the care of a counselor, and but he has tried suicide, actually, again, not too long ago, and this, you know, has really affected his life, and I just never believed that it's ever going to get any better. And at one point, he overdosed and died, and they bought him back. They put Narcan in him, and they bought him back. But I have my son here today, and it's a real blessing. And I just want, you know, this to be out to see if there's more out there that would be like me to step up and, you know, talk about it and possibly get him charged again, because I know that there's several, probably thousands.
Yes, has to be. It wasn't just the one-time thing. And that's what they're finding out about these sickos.
Well, he was in with a lot of the religious type groups. And he was 4-H camp, Boy Scouts, every school system just about in Virginia. Crosswalk boy, I mean, he was everything. And I just don't understand it, you know. I wish people would come out more open. Now, there is one right now that is in a hospital, and he's affected so bad. They told me not too long ago that he is on a suicide watch right now, the same one that he affected. And there is one that got sent to prison for killing a taxi cab driver, and he had so much anger in him from being assaulted, and he killed a taxi cab driver. And I don't know the reason, but I would say he probably tried to make a pass at him. And he is in prison for life, and... But the anger is real, you know, it's never going away. That's one thing. It's just never going to end. And I just wish one day that somebody would search this property. And I know it's never going to happen because they claim they searched it. And I had went to look for the search warrant. And they says, ma'am, we've never had a search warrant. It has never been searched. So they pretty much, you know, the Bureau, they lied to me. They covered him up.
Yeah, something doesn't sound right
and
with that.
He worked in the sheriff's department, well, the police department. He worked as a dog warden, and he got fired from there. God knows what he did at the... And, you know, he used to drive in his truck with all kinds of kids on his lap that he got from just everywhere. And neighborhood kids and parents would allow their boys, 13, 12, to go to work with him. They knew what was going on. They wanted the money, the parents, is what it was. And... They say he was one of the biggest pedophiles in Virginia, but you can actually look him up. And
is he registered as a sex offender, Ms. Kathy?
I believe so. I believe so. I looked him up at one point, you know, with his face and all, and I believe that he was. He had to have been. I mean, that's. I got to thinking. Yes. My son, and then there was two more, and why the judge gave him such a light sentence as probation, I'm really wondering, you know, I'm really thinking he was covered up. He was well protected. They said that he knew more on the higher-ups because the higher-ups were with the kids, and in that year in the 80s, there were, you know, like eight judges that were busted for child pornography, and they say, though, you know, there was a lot involved with him. And my main question is, you know, why wasn't this land searched? You know, this is acres and acres and acres of land, and it has, like, digging hole sites in it and shacks still up, padlocked. You know, what's in these shacks? And I know I've seen one of them, and it's something I don't want to look at ever again, you know. Especially seeing the voodoo dolls with needles poked in them, hanging upside down, black around their eyes, kids' clothing dressers, dead cats in a freezer. No, no. So that goes to show you, you know, there just isn't any justice system. They're just, they don't care.
No, it seems like
so,
they don't.
So, Ms. Kathy, this happened what year?
It was in the, well, my son was 13 at then. Let me think. He's 13. That would have been not very good with years, but it was actually, let me think, 20-some years ago. I've got it at the courthouse, and I've got a paper in here, but it was about 25 years ago.
And he's released them back on that property.
Yes. And that's what's really bothering me, you know, because why would this not be
there's no reason why law enforcement isn't checking that area even now.
See, he's way on a holler, and it's like on a dead end, and it's a really, really freaky, spooky-looking house. It looks kind of like an old dungeon, and it's kind of like not underground, but it's set way low, and it's got like a bunch of rocks by it and water and a bunch of acres in the back with nothing but old pickup trucks. I had to go and see the old truck that my son was in and, you know, look at that,
what year
that made me sick. I go there quite a bit, honey. I still went there last year. I go about once a year just down the holler to see if I see anything going on, and I'm afraid to ever run across him because he might still recognize me. And I know one time... I know at one point I went, and this was when this was happening to my son. He was still out of jail, and he took a rake to me, a rake shovel, and I got stuck in his mud with my vehicle there, and it was late at night after work, and I got stuck right in the water in the mud, and he chased me with a rake shovel, and he told me he was going to kill me. So I just, you know, I went a lot when he was in prison, and I just had to look at this place. And he's got an uncle that lives up through there, and they say that he keeps a lot of everything. You know, he watches every – he's just as bad, they say. He's another sex offender, more or less. But I went there maybe about a year ago, and I was going to go here last month, and I just decided not to. I wanted to look and see if I see any activity going on or any children or – but I'm really afraid of him seeing me or even getting suspicious. And
did you file,
you know,
did you
people
file
like
charges
that
about him threatening
your life? Oh, yes. And my son wasn't the only one. There was two or three more that he had attacked. And one boy, you know, he had so much anger. He's in prison now. The judge gave him life. He's in prison for life. He had so much anger from being assaulted, and he knifed a cab driver to death, and he had mentioned the cab driver tried something on him bad, and I believe that. I don't think the kid would just knife a cab driver. He pulled off on a side road, and he actually was about to do something to him is what I heard, and the judge that put him away for life, they say, is the same one that he knew too much on. Does that make sense? He knew a lot on him. And maybe he was going to talk or say something. He put him away for life. And because I've never heard of, you know, just a cab driver pulling over in a vacant lot, like in the weeds and woods and just like that, you know. I mean, he was going to do something to that boy. And he already had anger at the age, I think he was 17. And he pulled a knife out and killed him. And the judge sent him away for life. I wrote him for a while in prison. And I actually wrote his brother in prison. And he wouldn't tell me a whole lot. I think he's afraid. But I did find his brother in Florida at one point. And he told me that he would come to court and spill the beans on everything. He would come out, talk about everyone involved and all the cover-up, and but he wanted some type of, like, where he's guarded and a plane ticket back home. And I'm like, that's some big, scary stuff. That right there gets you killed, you know. That's not worth really... And this is called La Vesta Holler. And you might even see it on the map. You just take a look at him first. You know, you'll understand. But he looks just like Helter Skelter. He's very, very scary looking. Very scary. And I know when he was in prison, I had a mugshot I seen about 5 years ago, and his hair was real frizzy. Kind of like Bozo, and he's just real dark eyes underneath and skinny and just really deep, mean-looking eyes. And it's just really But he got by with this, like, oh my gosh, years and years and years. Even riding by the police station with all the kids. And he worked at City Hall. He worked at the police station. Every school system. 4-H camp, I believe is what you call it. Boy Scout, Cub Scout. He was fired from every school job. And the first one was Raven Elementary. Raven Elementary. Bruce Russell was the principal that fired him, and I've always asked him why he was fired. And I heard he was caught in the boys' bathroom with a child, and it was never said. They kept everything. I know the one newspaper, it was called, what was the name of that? They went out there, and they took pictures of his home. And they questioned him, and the Commonwealth attorney is the one that inspired me to come forward, you know, when I saved all these children and worked so hard. And he asked me why I did that, and I was telling him what happened to me. But you just don't want to look at this place. I know he took pictures of it, and he was freaked out by just the way, you know, it looks like a ghost house, like a something, you know, built way back in the 1918, and it's kind of like, it looks like a castle, but yet it's got a basement, and when I first went there and searched and seen those, I went past the fence thing, you know, I took a friend with me, and I just had to know and see if I had could find any pictures of my son or anything, evidence to, but what I seen in them shacks, you know, in them freezers, dead black cats, they didn't even seem to care. They didn't even bring animal control, you know, and I'm like, you got to be kidding. But the name of the holler was La Vesta Holler, and he lived on the very end, you know, where nobody was around, no neighbors, no nothing. And I guess I'm the first one and the only one that actually, I know the friend took pictures. I tried to get some of them. She might even still have them, but she took pictures of the insides of the shacks because she couldn't believe all the kids' clothing and the dolls and the bunks and the dressers. And, you know, this is where he took the children. And I just don't understand why, you know, it's got to be searched. It's never been searched. And why they would lie about it and say it was searched, you know.
True.
I would just give anything if that was looked into, because there might be, you know, there was an old wives' tale about there could be children buried on that land, all the missing kids. They said he got kids from all over the world, and I believe it. He was a sick, sick, sick predator, but there was, you know, hundreds alone that he, they say he got, and there was like eight that just come forward in the past 2 weeks. You know, back when I would go out and kind of ask questions and all, there's one right now in a hospital that he was so bad off by being attacked by this man. He's never getting better. He's on suicide watch right now, and he's like in his 30s. I mean, that's sad, but I had heard about that like 5-6 months ago. And guess what he's doing now? The same pedophile. He's got a license again, and he's still tearing down homes and working in town. Now, that's what I heard last.
Now, where,
and how he got a license or how he's even...
Where's this at?
This is in Cedar Bluff, Virginia.
Is that
it's
West
kind
Virginia
of in the boonies.
Or just regular Virginia?
No, it's in Virginia. It's just over the state line from me. It's maybe about a 30-minute drive. I actually have to drive it tomorrow, matter of fact. It's my son's birthday, and I'll be just passing the exit of Cedar Bluff where this all took place, and it's something out of a horror movie. You just go and look at this property, but I guarantee you this could be years of activity and bodies and everything. But and the shacks, I just don't know why they're so well protective. You know, like the uncles down the holler, they said he was watching everything while he was in prison. And it's really weird because he turned around and bought the property right after, and then he gave it back to him when he got out of prison. And he's evidently kind of the same way he was, kind of, they say, a pedophile. But I just don't ever understand why this wasn't searched and why it can't be searched still, you know. And I really believe that they would find a lot of, I mean, it's my word, what I seen, and the girl has pictures, you know. Why are kids' clothing and dead cats in a freezer and kids' clothes and voodoo dolls and, I mean, mattresses? Why would he have these? He has no children. But it was said by quite a bit, and one was a professor. One was a professor that I knew very well, very smart man. He told me that he wanted to write a book about this guy. He said there were so many kids involved in so many school systems, and he was all over the world, Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, you name it. He was a crosswalk boy at Cedar Bluff. He was in the janitor at the Raven. He was fired from all the jobs. I'm talking like
wow.
50 of them. So, you know, they... But
I'm blown away. I don't
even
know what to say, honestly.
Yeah. Any more of the system, I'll tell you, you know, I just didn't think back then that it was so corrupt like it is now, but I just don't know what I can do to, you know, wake up people and please, you know, open this up, search it, you know, go out there and this is a pedophile, you know, years and years and years. Look at his record. Look at his face.
Have you contacted
what he's
law
done,
enforcement?
Oh, honey, I would never even try. I have tried so hard to get them to search that and open this up, and some of my friends have. They're all in the same bed together, honey.
Wow.
They're not going to do anything, probably not in the Virginia side. It'll take somebody probably pretty big to go in and go check that out. You know, I don't believe everything I hear, but when I hear by so many that there were so many higher-ups that were in these shacks with the kids, they say they were blindfolded and they were raped. And, you know, when you hear that by not just one but several, you know, you start to... But I know that he traveled, like, pretty much everywhere. You know, he was in a lot of campgrounds and 4-H. And so I'd say, you know, if someone, put an ad or something about to come forward. I know the little newspaper did at one point, but it wasn't like much of a paper. They just mainly wanted to get out there and, oh, they've got, it was called The Voice, The Voice. Yeah, he went out there, the older man, and he took a bunch of pictures of the place and the shacks. And you know, the sad part was a few of the mothers didn't want to get involved, and they didn't even want to hardly prosecute him. They were stepmothers, and all they cared about out of these boys that were 13, the fact that he was paying them money, they did not even care. They barely even wanted to come forward in court. You know, I was pretty much begged them, look what they did, you know, to your son. I've got 30 pages of what they had done to mine at the age 13. I've got like 30 pages. He was drugged up. He smoked something that had mushrooms in it. His eyes were blood red when I found him. He had just been molested. It was awful. He was crying in the ground. And, you know, to this day, I'll tell you, the anger, you know, he was like me. He kept a lot inside, but I just don't know the right person or the right connection, you know, that will get in there and, you know, try to search this or... And it seems like if they never have searched it and he's been known to do this and several come forward and there's millions out there, I mean, they should be searching it for missing children, digging up the grass and doing everything. Well, the main thing is the shacks. I really believe they would...
I'm sorry.
...find something. I believe there could be a lot of pictures or...
Well, you would think the property would have had to be searched before he moved there, after being released from prison. No, Bob?
Well, see, with the uncle taking it over right after he got locked up and giving it back to him when he got out, that kind of cleared him right there.
I guess every state's different, but usually they do like a home check.
Well,
yes,
they told me the sheriffs.
I would think.
I mean, I know every state's different, but you think that where he was moving to would have to be checked that there was no children living there. So you would think it would have been checked when he was being released.
Yeah, I wish it would have, but, you know, they never had a search warrant, and they always have to document that.
Disgusting.
I just wish there was some way or somehow to get it out and to get that looked into. You know, I'm not just doing it for my son. I'm looking out for the other children, you know, that,
yeah.
Gosh, there's so many missing. And there's so many mothers back then that trusted their child to go and work for this man, and they let them. And the stepmoms especially, because they didn't care as long as they bought home money. And some of them might not have even been bought back home.
My goodness.
But he's been all over the world. And he was indefinitely, to me, he was one of the biggest, sickest pedophiles there was. There wasn't one thing that he wasn't with that didn't have children in it. And he got fired from like 30 jobs here in the Cedar Bluff area. I know, you know, I took notes. I know every school he worked in. And I even asked Bruce Russell, what happened? Oh, he don't want to get involved because he knows
well,
he's going down.
Well, they can't disclose it because they're protected by the union. So they can't disclose why he was terminated. The court system can get it. But they can't disclose it.
But he could have been stopped, you know, years and years and years ago before he, especially it started when he was a janitor in the elementary school. That's when.
Oh, God.
And he was a crosswalk boy, and then he was janitors and, like, well, he'd hold the boys' hands going across the street and walk them, you know, across the street and all. And
yeah,
he was in quite a bit of. Custodian in pretty much all the schools and fired from everything, even the city hall, the police department, in with the dogs. And how he still has a license to tear down homes in the area, I'll never understand. They told me, the one that told me that they're... cousin was in the hospital, that he was affected so bad by him. He was on suicide watch. He was in his 30s. They told me, I'll take you right where he's working now, and I will let you see him on a roof working in the community. I said no, because I know that I'm not cool with that. I don't want to be around him, because I know I really thought that he was dead. Someone said he died in prison, and I just found out like a year ago that he is alive and well, and he's back in that.
How old is he?
Right now, I looked him up. He's around 64, 65. I actually celebrated. I thought God took his life, you know. I really celebrated just to hear when I was in that side of town that he is alive and well. I nearly just, you know, where is he at? Where is he living? What's going on? Doing the same stuff, you know. Same place.
Where's Carmen? Where's Carmen at?
It's you can look up on the map at Cedar Bluff, Virginia. La Vesta Holler is the name. It's off of Indian Road, Indian Creek. Indian Creek down La Vesta Holler. He's at the very dead end. And you'll see a bunch of old trucks and rusted out cars. And, oh, it's a really scary looking place.
Well, you should stay away from that area. He's dangerous.
But that goes to show you our system nowadays, you know, they just don't care anymore because that should have been checked, you know, for other children and missing. And you know, the thing is they lied about it. They said they searched it. We went down there, three of us, just a couple days later, and then another week later, no, ma'am, this has never been searched, or we'd have it documented in the courthouse.
My goodness. So how did he finally wind up getting caught? What happened there?
How did I wind up in court?
No. How did he wind up getting caught?
Oh, yes. He violated his probation. He got caught with his cousin. He was raping his own 12-year-old cousin. And that's
goodness.
All he got for the attack of my son and three more others that stood up in the court of law. All these kids and eight that come forward, millions across the world, he got 20 years probation. And I was like, why? But I understand why. There was a big cover-up. It was all cover.
How much time did he serve?
I believe 19 years out of the 20. And I had heard he died in prison, but no, it wasn't true. So I was just, I even told my son he's dead, you know, and how do I ever explain he's alive and well, which I've never, but I just haven't bought it up anymore. I'm lucky to have him alive right now. I'm a very lucky mother.
There should be a
protection
order in place, though.
We're two in one. We've experienced the same type of situations, and both an old truck, both. And if I hadn't made it to my son, you know, when he was 13, lying in the ground, and he would have been dead. He was so drugged up, and God knows what they gave him. But when he snapped out of it, we went to the station, and there was like at least 30 pages of what he had done to him, and it is sickening. It's, oh, my God, I couldn't even read it without almost getting sick, and it was all I could do to... But I did that case for so many years, went out. Even after I shut the restaurant down, I would go out and, you know, go on his property. I went one night. I got stuck in a mud bank. I'd never try that again. It was really stupid of me, but I was going to, I just wanted to check this guy out, see what was going on and see who was in there and see. I was going to say something, but when he come at me with a rake shovel and said he was going to kill me, I mean, I spun on the gas, and I had a pretty big car at then, and I could barely even get it out of the water, but I floored it, and I just, mud went everywhere, and I made it out alive, but I'm very lucky.
Yeah, very dangerous situation to put yourself in.
Yes, but I got my way in there. You know, I knew that he was in prison and there was nobody down that holler. I had a friend with me and she bought her camera. She had some pictures and what was in them shacks and in them freezers. And
and all those pictures were turned over to law enforcement?
No, she. I asked her today. I'm not very good at cell phone pictures. I don't even know how to snap one on a cell phone still, but she's got her old phone, and I believe she still has them in there. You know, she took pictures because she was shocked by looking inside there with, you know, and a lot of them were padlocked, but there was like eight of them. One was burnt down to the ground, and there was some
digging.
Yeah,
there was no evidence in there.
Like, there was just like, you know, pictures and kids' clothing, a dresser drawer, a mattress. A voodoo doll, like with black underneath her eyes, with knitting needles poked in her heart. Oh, God, sick stuff. Beer cans.
Yeah, those pictures,
a little
those
baby,
pictures should go to law enforcement.
A baby TV. Yeah, when they're all, oh, gosh, it's so corrupt in the Cedar Bluff area. They all knew him. They all well protected him, you know. I just
yeah,
feel
but
like,
you can't,
you know, there could be some to come forward, you know, if they actually, it'd be nice and he would go back there where he belongs.
Yeah, I just think that's evidence that we should have.
Look him up on the internet, Harris Dale Parker. But he had some incidents before then and it's just strange. One thing I found, I wrote the boy, but it's been quite some years ago. The one judge put him for life, the one that taxi cab driver, it don't make sense. And that's the one that was supposed to be well protective, possibly that was involved with some of the children, but that's what I heard. And, you know, he actually got arrested not too long ago for DUI and drugs, and I'm like, wow, a judge. But it makes you wonder, though, you know, who anymore you can trust and who's corrupt. I just don't have any trust, you know. I still protect the law, and we still need them, but there are so many corrupt ones out there. It's just unbelievable.
But it's not all, because I come from a family and friends that are law enforcement, and I know that they would do everything and anything to protect us.
Oh, God, yeah, there's some good ones, Bobby. I know some great ones. Just the ones that...
True. There's ones that let things slip through the cracks.
Well, some are just so overworked, and they don't mean to let things slip in the cracks, and they make mistakes. They're human, but, you know, a lot of them are so overworked, and they're so underpaid, you know.
Yeah, but this case is inconceivable. There's no way that got through so many hands. So many babies.
But that's what brought me forward, guys, was just being out like that. And when I started just shivering and sitting on them rocks, and that's what made me come forward and get it out, and much less a 13-year-old child go through what I went, you know, it's terrible. But the anger never goes away.
He affected so many lives forever.
Well, the professor told me that he affected, now he was pretty smart and he was a teacher, he was a professor. He knew him. He said he wanted to write a book on him, but he said that he actually affected 70% of the school kids, you know, that he got a hold of. And I'm like, wow, you know, how does he know all this? But he was mentioning that a lot of them he knew that grew up were affected by this man, and they were on drugs and alcohol. So they must have come forward with him or told him something, but he said a lot of them were on drugs, I guess, to escape reality and drinking. You know, they were alcoholics. Very sad to keep that inside, too. You know, you got to get that out. But it might not never be resolved. It might not never. But you just never know. He might slip up and do something again, you know.
Unfortunately, I hope it's not someone's baby.
Oh, I pray, you know, it doesn't. But ones like that, they can't be rehabilitated. No way.
Nope.
I do not believe in rehabilitating a sick molester. No way. Never, never, never. It just gets worse when they get out.
Yeah, it's
they're
just,
never
going to
change.
Sickness.
Not all the health
yeah,
in the world. They're sick.
Yes, they are, and I have a solution, but nobody seems to like it.
That's what I said, karma.
Oh, yeah. A lot of solutions.
No, I've got one permanent solution, but, you know, a lot of American people and the soft-hearted don't like it.
Yep. I'm with you.
Either that or keep them locked away for life because they don't deserve to walk the street.
Nope.
They don't even deserve prison. They
exactly.
don't even deserve prison.
Yeah, you're right.
Exactly.
You're right.
You're
some
paying
like it
for
in
it.
There. Yeah.
Because you're paying
tax
for
dollars.
It.
Plus, they like it in there. So a lot of them, you know, they have TVs now and, oh, 3 meals, TVs, phone cards. You can work and make a little money for commissary, or their relatives send them commissary, and they get everything alleged in there.
Or like this one guy did that was in prison for life for murder or something. I don't know. Remember what he was in for, but he got a hold of a pedophile and killed him in prison. He was doing life anyway, so no biggie.
Right, right.
Not too long ago, also.
What's that?
Yeah, that's happening a lot, you know, but they know the system's not doing their job, so they are. But then again, I'm one. I've always gone by the law and what's right, what's wrong. You know, everything by the book, let the law do their job or let the judge, whatever. But that's the way I was raised. You know, let them take care of everything. They're the higher authority, and they're the ones that – but people are getting tired of this, you know, seeing these kids assaulted and murdered, and they're just taking them in their own hands and solving it, you know, killing them. I think it's going to get worse, guys. I think –
I mean, it's not something that we advocate for, but there will be justice one day, I pray.
It's my first little grandson there. He's 8, and he's rocking down the house with his rock music. He said, Grandma, that's my first one, my first little 8-year-old grand. Grandma, I'm being bullied today. Talk to them. I said, honey, I said, get off the machine. Just put it down, you know. Just bullies will be bullies. They're just babies. And But Grandma, you got to talk to him. What am I supposed to do, you know?
Nope, we only have so much power.
Well, it's like a two-in-one. So that's why me and my son are so close. Does that make sense? We've got so much in common, and we've suffered
safe
the
place.
Same.
You're his safe place. You've been through it, unfortunately, also.
Yes.
I'm determined to find mine, I'm hoping. Every time I want to give up,
you,
I want to go on.
And I think
I want to give up at one point.
And I think you've already found it.
Oh, you mean you think someday it'll come through who did this to me?
No, I think you've already found your peace. Now you just want to open everything up.
I want to help others somehow, but I just don't know how
right.
to. I'd like to be a speaker one of these days or, you know.
You're doing it.
Yep, you got your voice.
No one can take your voice away but you.
Right. That's
how
Lindy and Michelle. Can't stop, won't stop, right?
You're a brave woman, that's for
sure. Yes, it really has bothered me. You know, I try to stay calm over it, but he has affected my life beyond belief, you know, as far as even wanting to go out at dark time, everything, sleep. I don't even sleep at night. I'm just a nervous wreck pretty much. But I try, you know, he used to be my mind every night, nightmares, you name it. But I just don't get it. I have done such a perfect sketch. Perfect and age progression and, you know, a story on everything. But I guess it's because it just now got out. They kind of shoved that under the rug, too. But it should be easy to solve that, you know. Being a small little town it was in, and not many people look like that.
He might not have
having
been
a person
from that area.
Of interest, yeah, and a person of interest and not being able to see him, what kind of a investigation is that? And knowing the case is still, you know, sitting in the opposite jurisdiction. I think something needs to change about jurisdiction, though. I really feel like they need to pass a bill on jurisdiction, like whoever starts with it should continue finishing with it. Instead of just passing it back and forth, and it's not doing good now, just sitting, you know, in a file cabinet, and the cabinet's outside of the police station. Do you have any other recommendations where I could go or what I could do in the North Carolina area to get it out there? Or
for your case? For your son?
Yes.
For yours?
Oh, no, mine. I'm kind of still on my son. I'm going to hope one day to go drive through there again just to see any kids. Or I'm trying. I don't just watch out for my son. You know, I want to be there for every kid.
I would try to get a hold of someone that does cold cases. That's the only suggestion I have.
Yes. Reach out to somebody in D.C., too.
Cold cases.
Mm-hmm.
Because D.C. being the, you know, the major so-called network.
Well, Bobby, you was mentioning at one point about, is it your relative that does documentary or...
Yes.
Does that go, if the documentary go, like, we're...
It's not just my cousin. It's also a very good near and dear friend of mine, a veteran that owns his own company.
Does that go pretty much where, like, that area can hear it, though, like in the North Carolina?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my dad was Army. He got many years, but he got the Navy. He got shell shock. He was real bad to having like seizures, like flashbacks of the war and stuff. Oh gosh, shell shock is bad. I'd watch my dad, you know, padlock himself in the room, and that's a sad situation.
Right.
Yeah, I highly respect my veterans. It don't matter where I'm at. If, like, my son was Army, you know, my second son, he just got out last year. But whenever I go anywhere, I always thank them for their service and shake their hand. Always. I highly respect my veteran.
As do we.
Yes. Because like I said
Bobby,
before, most of us here in our group are veterans.
Oh,
and
that's wonderful.
I highly respect.
They get out there and they risk their cell for our lives. Half of them are so unappreciative there.
True.
Oh, well, my son, Josh, he's one.
same thing with our first responders and law enforcement, you know.
Yes,
just
because
one is bad doesn't make them all bad.
Right, you better believe it. And they want to, what do you call that, disfund the police, not have law enforcement? What's wrong with these people? Oh, my mother is so mad about that. Well, I don't want to get into politics, but if something don't happen, if they don't get a president in, like, at least get, I don't know, it's just getting bad. I'm a Trump supporter.
Well,
most of us are.
Yep.
We're all in the same boat with
That's wonderful. I love Trump beyond belief, and you know, I don't care what he's done or what people say he's done or what he's the one that's going to make this world change. Did you notice all the people now getting shot, killed, riots happening? It's going to get, if they don't get Biden now, we're going to all wind up, and look at the money he's giving out. You know, he wants to give a stimulus every time you turn around the corner, or give free money, child tax credits.
It's not free,
more,
though.
Food
it's
money, God,
free.
It makes me so mad. I go to the grocery store. I can't even buy bread. I can't buy anything. There's no food. The young lady is taking it with 10 children. And here I've worked since I was 15 years old, and I know a lot of these women having all these kids and getting free everything. You know, WIC, you get pregnant, you take care of your babies.
True.
Or make sure you marry into someone that has something. Make sure you marry into someone that has something or a future. You know, the government can't pay for everything.
We're paying for it.
Exactly.
Our grandkids, our great-grandkids are going to be paying for it.
Oh, yeah. It's you from last time. I remember you. I bet you hear some amazing stories, don't you, honey? She's so sweet. I would love to find a good soap popper and rerun and put it.
I told you should write a book, Katie.
Well, guys, I was considering I was considering not even wanting to talk about this, and I did this for my son in case something does ever happen. I don't have him any longer, but you know something? I'm never going to say that I was a bad mother because I paid this lady, oh my gosh, I paid her like, you know, to come and stay the night. I paid her like $100 a night to watch two kids, and she was one of the employees' wives, and you know, my son was out riding his bike at 13. He's got the right to get out there and ride a bicycle, you know, around the corner, just to the end and back, just next door. And they put these creeps in the neighborhood, you know, to tear down homes with a permit, knowing they're pedophiles. And I never knew before when he started this job how many more times he had got my son. And I know this wasn't the first, and oh, gosh, it's a blessing. Adam come and got me at the restaurant and told me, hey, your son has been just been taken in a truck. And I'm like, oh, honey, I left the register door open. I left everything. It was closing time. I didn't check nobody out. I ran with this boy in my car, drove 100 miles an hour, about killed myself. And I just shook so bad. It was like all over again was me shaking what happened to me and reminding me of being in this place again. I don't know how I've ever been so strong and not really had a breakdown with everything I've been through. You know, I'm still standing. I'm a tough one. And I think, well, I've got to stay strong, you know, for my children. Well, I won 27. I've got his and the other. He just got the Army, and I've got his son in here. He's a little rapper to be 8, and I keep taking that rap music off. Some of it's got some, well, his mommy bought it. It's not got some good words, and he was bullied, you know, quite a bit on that machine. And I'm going to tell his mother, you know, in some of the machines, there's bigger people on there. And my kids never had these kind of things at that age. They were out playing in the yard and riding bicycles. And after, you know, being bullied, he plays a song. And, you know, I notice everything, but it's about a guy that died of suicide and a rapper. And I'm thinking, that goes in. That scares me, you know, bullying. And then him playing that song over and over and over.
Yes, it's definitely happening.
I'm going to talk to his mother, and I'm just not. I love his mother for having him. She was with my son. They didn't get married, but she goes out a lot. She's a big boss at Walmart. She does really well for herself, you know, really good. But they were young, you know, when they were like 20, and she works a lot. But the electronics, it's not a good type of privacy he has. You know, he's got too much to these electronics. And when she bought him a Apple iPhone 11, 8 years old, I nearly died. I'm not happy about it, but, you know,
there's
I don't want
to
start trouble because, I mean,
yeah,
God, I can see a little flip phone for emergency, but an Apple iPhone to be 8? No way would mine ever. No, no, no.
My granddaughter has one.
Yeah, talking on there with a face is looking in.
Yeah, no, everything is parental guidance, protected. There's only certain people that can talk to her.
Oh, well, that's great. Now, he's all over the world pretty much, and he takes that thing all over, you know, with him. And
I have him
when I'm not working, I have him the majority of the time. And when he was little, I even took him to the restaurant with me. I mean, I pretty much raised him, I can say that. But, you know,
that doesn't go on in Grandma's house.
Yeah, they like to get out and have fun, just like my son got in from work, the one guy of the Army. He works a big job. There's like four that only do that. He digs like in the gasoline, like underneath gas pumps. He goes into the meters and reads them and stuff like that. He goes all over. But he just bought him a brand new Camaro, and I got on to him for that too because it's too fast. And he's paying like $800 a month on a car payment. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding. Oh, I just got so. And I'm like, well, they're going to do their thing no matter what. But he's out and about showing it off. And I heard the little boy say, well, you don't ever spend time with me. And I said, you see, you know, that they don't forget that. They grow too quick. And he'll be back soon. But they're both pretty much out a lot. They're well-known, popular, and they like to go, 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 go. I did, too, when I was young, but I was a darn good mother, that's for sure. I went to work, and I come home, you know. I was always so tired, really, but I raised mine pretty much in the restaurant. I was lucky to have one where I could take my kids inside. I had to do everything, like sometimes cook and put up the buffet, and they'd be running around and flour all over them, and they pretty much stayed in the restaurant, because after that happened to my son, I didn't trust any babysitter unless it was my mom. Or yeah, she was a real heavy lady, and she loved pizza, but they was telling me she would just want to sit and eat pizza on the couch, not even get up. And you know, she would smoke, and I had the baby, and I'm like, my husband was like, nope, you ain't gonna smoke with the baby in there. And I know that night she had a big old pizza the night. She didn't know my son was gone. But I took him with me ever since. You know, I raised him right where I was working. And the grandbaby, too, come with me, but he's real hyper, so he pretty much got on a lot of people's nerves. Yeah, he was about 2 when I took him in there, and he wouldn't want to take their drinks while they were drinking. And I remember once he grabbed one and took a sip out of it. There was a toy room in there, you know, and it was in the mall there, and I'd have to watch him running in the mall and chase him. Well, and that's my story.
Thank you for sharing it with us.
Oh, sure. I've enjoyed it. Can't think of another one. I'm a story, but, you know, if I did have one, it would be made up. Because it's all the truth and nothing but the truth, and I can swear on the Holy Bible, my mother's life, that Bobby, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here, dear.
Oh, you didn't snooze off yet?
No, ma'am.
You know
never.
How us ladies are. We get to talking. Now, your wife is Cindy. She's very pretty. Your wife is very pretty.
Cindy.
Cynthia.
No, my wife is Stephanie.
I must look at the wrong. I'm thinking of I don't know where I got Cynthia from. Maybe it was okay. I'm sorry, I was wrong. Well, Bobby, could you talk to your friend about doing a documentary?
Yes, I can.
And if you let me know, I guess I don't know anything about all that kind of stuff as far as you know, but whatever. Yeah, I guess you know how to do all that or start it or get it out there, or hopefully someone will hear it in the North Carolina area.
Yeah.
I keep thinking day I'm going to get resolution. I think one day that somebody is going to know him. You know what's really strange, Bobby?
My cousin?
Oh, I see. I had my speaker thing on. That's why I couldn't hear anything. I had a lady. I was telling you that I went to that one lady that was pretty psychic. Did you know she grabbed me one day out of the blues at the restaurant, and she said she seen me on Oprah Winfrey. Can you believe that? Well, I don't really care for Oprah, but she seen me on the Oprah show, and I'm like, really?
Yeah, I don't think I would accept anything from Oprah, but that's just my opinion.
No. I've never cared for Oprah, and I'm like, she was probably just, one of those that kind of, well, she had a lot of things, but I just never cared for I. Well, you guys, I don't want to bore you or keep you on because there's nothing I can actually make up. There's a recording on here, and I keep repeating myself.
No, but
I better.
That's why I wanted you to get on and tell your story.
I think one day that it's going to be told. Someone's going to know who he is just by the sketches and
True.
The sand dunes that I went over, the like deep tower pole things that were in this little house, the two little children. It should be a piece of pie, you know. And if I'm right on the person of interest that someone had mentioned the name, then, but I can't say names. I know that. It's not legal.
Right.
In case, you know, I'm wrong, I'll be in trouble.
Have you searched to see who owned that property before and after?
No, I do know the sheriff detective was the one that knew the name of the quarry. He has the name of the quarry. I thought he said Pinnacle or something.
Right.
He knows the name of the rock quarry, the sheriff, I mean the detective.
Bobby, that's the
right.
Local Sheriff's Department, isn't it?
What's that, babe?
That's Pinnacle's Sheriff's Department.
I believe so.
Well, he was the one that told them when I did the black and white sketch in Burlington. He was the one that told them the name of the quarry. He knows all that. He is now a state highway driver. Steve Perkins is his name. Steve Perkins.
Right, but like we, like Dawn and I both told you last radio show that last week. You should find out who owned it when you were there and who owns it now.
Yeah, that's public record.
I believe now it's like a, when she did that quarry thing on the paper, I believe it's a one single man that owns it. Now, before, I don't know who owned it or... Oh, he was very, not very nice with her either. He hung up on her, too, because she said, well, I don't understand why divers can't go in there and drain it or all this stuff. And he said, we've had divers go in here, and there's nothing down in there. And he hung up on her, so he wasn't nice.
Right. All right, well, I mean, I really appreciate you coming back on tonight. And adding to what we already talked about last week. And
oh, you're welcome.
We will definitely get the show out there. And I appreciate everything you're doing. Keep pushing forward.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay. And what is your name, young lady? Nice lady.
Me, nice, Dawn.
Nice? Yeah. That's my cousin. She's not so
Oh, you better watch it, Bobby. She'll get you after the show now.
Oh, she always
does.
She always does.
Thank you for your voice, Miss Kathy. Thank you for getting the word out there with your story and your song.
Yes, ma'am.
And for protecting the other
children.
I was waiting,
hoping you would be here. Yeah,
but,
I don't have any nightmares now. I hope you don't have nightmares about you.
No.
Mine are better, though. Mine are getting better.
She's a nightmare herself.
Can't,
I can't stop going to, you know, I live and breathe serial killers. I can't stop going to serial killer, watching them every night. I'm driving myself nuts with this, and I need to stop.
Well,
you know, I need to get it out of my
sleeping.
Head.
Yes.
Oh, I know.
Sleeping.
I watched a spooky one last night where he was under her bed watching her, and it was
that's just self-torture.
He had
Kathy.
A double wall watching. I know. I need to stop that.
Yeah,
it's just like I keep reliving it over and over and over. But the nightmares have gone. They're better. You know, I don't have them like I used to. I used to wake up screaming every night, and I was so nervous at night, and I'd have a lot of chest pains from just, you know, where I would just stress all night.
What about trying to do something that relaxes you, like a funny show or reading?
The anger's gone away, though, but one thing I love, though, I'll tell you, I love it with a passion. I'm so happy to do this. It makes me just feel like a woman. I love to walk to the store next door, dare someone to follow me around the corner. You know why? I scream in anger, and I get everything out of my system.
Yeah.
And I'm fine for another year.
Stuff that's going to trigger you before you go to bed.
But I do it in the daytime. Well, I've only had it happen once, and it was a sicko that looked just like this, not mine, but my son's, and in a van, and opening the door, getting out, come on in. I told him no twice, very politely, and then, oh, when he tried to open that door and get out, and I see, oh, Lord, I let him have it.
No, I'm talking about watching those shoes.
Oh, I won't. That made my day, though.
That's
my closure
right
there.
You.
That's my closure. Well, thank you all very much, and you keep in touch with me now.
Yes, definitely.
Have a great night. God bless you.
You too.
Good night.
Good night.
Yes. Have a good night.
Oh, Bobby, are you there? Oh,
yes,
okay.
I'm here. We're still here.
Okay, well, let me know something, will you, about weather?
I definitely will, I promise.
Okay. Good night, sir. Good night, ma'am. Have a great night, guys. I love
you.
You
too, dear. Thank you again for coming back on.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay, bye-bye, guys. Get in
bye-bye.
There and see what he's doing. Rocking down the house. Bye-bye.
Well.
Yes, I'd just like to say thank you all for tuning in. And God bless you all, and thanks again for putting your 2 cents in there, cuz.
Thank you for having me.
Always. And God bless America. God bless our troops, first responders, children, and our veterans. And God bless the Defender 7.
Amen.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, Mom.